Good morning. I greet you this morning with two verses taken from the Psalms. First Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And the second one from Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Happy Mother's Day. Before we start this morning, shall we pray? Dear Father, we just ask that you be with us through this service, Lord, that you would give mothers a special blessing this day, and that you'd be with me as I conduct this service, and that your word would be made known, and that your Holy Spirit would be present. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, it says that a generation is about 40 years. That sums up what today is all about. I recently had my 63rd birthday, and I've been thinking about my past and also about what the future holds. And I'm so glad that my Savior has been leading me through both. I've also been reflecting the last while on the history of this congregation. This church was built in 1929, and in 8 years will be 100 years old. I praise God for all that he has done and for all that he has done through this church, and including all those remaining here today. We are very fortunate that we still have a few members in our congregation who were there when this church started. They paved the way. They paid for the gravel and these facilities and the ministries all these years, and they continue to serve the Lord faithfully. This morning, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I notice that we have a new generation on the scene, and they must join this race, receive the baton. The torch is being passed to them. Will they too become a generation of grace? The future is open to them, and we pray that they continue to walk in faith as those who started this church did. The number 40 in the Bible speaks of a generation, but also symbolizes earthly trials and tribulations. It rained on Noah for 40 days and 40 nights. How long did Nineveh have to repent? 40 days. How long did Jesus fast in the wilderness? 40 days. How long did Jesus appear to his disciples after his resurrection? 40 days. It was 40 years from the time Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem to its fulfillment. And there are many other examples I could list for now, but let's look at Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. How can that happen? How can mothers and fathers who followed God not pass their faith on to their children? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but what will become of the next generation? If we do it correctly and worship our Lord Jesus, then this is what could be said about us, as it reads in Psalm 45, verse 17. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. If this is to happen, then it's up to us, gathered in our homes, by God's grace, to see it through. In previous years, during the child dedication part of Mother's Day, all of us stood up as a congregation of believers to promise our support and be a light on the children's paths. It's up to us to claim responsibility for our actions, to lay aside the consumer mentality that asks, "What can this church do for me?" and have a contributor mentality asking, "What can I do for the church God has led me to?" The Great Commission of "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation" starts with our own families and our church. A person who has a contributor mentality looks for a place where they are needed. The main question is, where is a local church where I can serve God? They believe God's perfect will includes more than just what's in it for me. Matter of fact, they firmly believe that they are giving of their time, talents, and treasures to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ because they owe their very souls redemption to Him. It is a joy for them to serve their Lord. And God would seem to agree because He says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And Matthew 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." You can be blessed by going to a church where others have sacrificed and built something good, but you can be doubly blessed by going to a church and looking for needs and problems to solve, and then becoming part of a solution. And our children who are watching everything will witness your faith in action. The Bible has quite a lot to say about generations and the younger generation stepping up to the plate and dedicating to the task at hand. Consider these verses. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19. "Thou, O Lord, remain forever. Thy throne endures for all generations." Daniel chapter 4, verse 3. "How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is eternal, an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation." And Isaiah chapter 34, verse 17. "He allots their portions, His hand distributes them by measure. They will possess it forever and dwell from there from generation to generation." And 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Yes, the Bible has much to say about generations, and our responsibility for the next generation of young people in our church is clear. But there's also a major warning for us in the Scripture, in the form of the children of Israel. This is a long story and would take hours to read, but I will only read from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him." Verses following, verses 10 through 29, speak about how God was taking good care of His own. But they didn't go along with His plan. They lacked faith and constantly complained. And in verses 30 to 33, God decided that the next generation would not enter the promised land. Have you ever felt like you've wasted years? Have you ever looked back and wondered why you did certain things and why you squandered your time? And what did you really accomplish of real value? Have you used your time God gave you to raise your family along God's paths? Have you shown the children watching you your love of God and of your love of the church? Are you a contributor to the church? Do you have that contributor mentality? What does it mean in Psalm 78, verse 33, where it says, "So we ended their days in futility and their years in terror"? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2, we read this, that it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. And in verse 3, it says, they arrived in the 40th year on the first day of the 11th month. Whoa! This means it took 40 years to travel this 11-day short distance. Yes, they went in circles, going nowhere, meandering their lives away. The next few verses also summarize their lack of faith and going their own way and how God let them wander in the wilderness. And then it says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 35 and 36, "No one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly." Here's a couple of other very telling verses. Numbers chapter 32, verse 13. "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." In Psalm 95, verse 10. "For 40 years I was angry with that generation, and I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways." Now here is the point I don't want you to miss. Egypt is a picture of bondage of sin, but God delivered them, and the promised land wasn't far away, and the promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. So we can see that what we're reading this morning, how Israel turned a few days' trip into a journey of 40 years. And we can almost get angry and want to slap them around because of that. That is, until we realize that they are a picture of us in the church. Look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and verses 11 through 12. "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." These things about Israel were written for our generation and the children of the next generation who follow us. A map reveals that they went around in circles. And spiritually, they were going in circles. They went from sin to suffering, from suffering to supplication, from supplication to salvation, and then back around again to sinning. Back to Psalm 78, verses 34 to 42. And the rest of the chapter reminisces of the mighty plagues in Egypt and how mightily the God delivered them and how they treated him in return by not fully following him. And you know, for us to do anything less than give him 100% of who we are is an insult and will lead us to a wilderness-like Christianity that goes around in circles and accomplishes very little for our generation, never mind the next. Verse 41 of chapter 78 says they limited God. But how can a person actually limit the Creator? How can this be? After all, he is all-powerful. First of all, God plays by no one's rules but his own. But one of his rules he goes by is that he will not use a dirty vessel to put his hand, his glory, into. Pastor Jeremy spoke about this a few weeks ago in Haggai chapter 2. He will not put his hand into a dirty glove to do his work. Anything God does through us is in spite of who we are as sinful people. But he can do so much more than we allow him to. We limit him when we limit ourselves. When we hold back on dedicating ourselves to his service. When we commit ourselves to building the church of the living God and trusting in Jesus to lead us, then we can do anything. To do less limits God and could spell the end of this place long before another 40 years comes and goes. It's time the people of God realize that they are limiting the Father's work here in the church. It's time to stop praying, God use me, and start praying, God make me usable. Change my direction to your direction. Change my thoughts to your thoughts. This happens when we realize that he wants to do greater works than we can imagine. That's why he left us here. It's why you're sitting there listening to me this morning. You can do it. You can reach out to others with God's help. Mothers and fathers can pass the torch to the next generation if you'll commit to the task and take responsibility in your generation and believe it's possible. To do less would be limiting God. I don't like what I see in Israel, and often when we don't like someone, it's because they remind us of ourselves. Personality conflicts come when we butt heads with someone just like ourselves. And so we could point our fingers at Israel and ask them why they made such an easy task, such a short journey into such a long, drawn-out, impossible feat. But rather than do that, we should look in the mirror and say, how can I avoid doing the same thing? We need to stop going in circles, constantly turning to the same sins that we have over and over again, and get victory over those sins and go forward, doing greater things for God than we ever even considered we could do. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Here's three things that Israel did wrong. They lacked faith. They didn't take God at his word. Oh, they believed enough to leave Egypt, that is to get saved, but not enough to ever arrive at the promised land and have the victorious life. I marvel at Christians who believe in God for something as huge as salvation, but when asked if they've ever shared Christ with anyone, they just look at you blankly. The second thing is, Israel lacked obedience. They didn't listen to God's voice. God told them they would win if they would go forward and enter the promised land, but they saw giants and were afraid and turned back. And thirdly, they lack purity. They didn't progress in their faith. Praise God, he doesn't expect sinless perfection, for none of us could meet that challenge. But he does expect us to sin less. God wants us to go forward and grow as Christians and as a church. And the best progress comes by walking down the road with Christ, not by wandering around. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. Sometimes we take baby steps, but it's still going forward, and that's progressing in the walk with Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. In James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's progressing in holiness. What kind of legacy are you leaving for the next generation? Too often I have heard parents say they want their children to make up their own minds about religion, so they do not instruct them. I think they say that because they have not made up their own minds. So in essence, they are making disciples of their own belief system. Their children are going to believe like them unless somewhere along the line there is an intervention. While our culture spins out of control and the family units seem to be breaking down, the Bible lifts up the family and exalts the place of women in the family. Motherhood is a ministry. It is a ministry of teaching, preparing children to follow God's pathway and be an example of the love of Jesus. Through your faith and Christian lifestyle as parents, and especially mothers, you are an example for your children to copy. Let your children see the commitment and works and joy in your daily walk. It's been good to look back over these 40 years, but now it's time to look forward. What will you see when you look back 40 years from today? Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, during these times of conflict and uneasiness and stress, Lord, we know we can have confidence in you. We can have confidence because you have always led your people, Israel, and you have always led the church. And we ask you to continue to do so. You know what things are in store for us. You know what road lies ahead for all of us. And we know that we can come to you with our prayers, with our concerns, and you will hear them, you will listen to them, and you will act on them. Lord, as parents, and especially mothers, help us to raise our children. Help us to raise that next generation to be followers of your word. Help them to be strong in their faith, Lord. We ask you to guide them. We ask you to guide them through their education at schools. Open up their eyes to the word of God in their church and through their parents. Be with them and lift them up this morning and in the future, as you lead them. Be with the next generation, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.